This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is the Fulham shadow, Emilio Danilo. This is our post-match show of Fulham's 3-1 victory against Bournemouth. Emilio was there, so he's going to just share his thoughts on it. I've obviously watched it, and I did my five takeaways, but now we're going to do a post-match show. It's been a while since I've talked to Emilio, so I'm really excited about doing this. A couple of things I want to mention is that Emilio and I are dealing with some technical issues. I'm going to tell you that my mic is not working right now, so you might hear my audio is a little tinny, so I apologize for that. I have to buy a new mic, so just wanted to be transparent on that. And then, of course, we've got Emilio trying to find a place to do it, so we're both dealing with technical issues, but we're going to do the show because we want to do a show. Emilio, it's been a long time. How are you doing?
Yeah, it has been a long time, Russ. I'm glad to be back on show. It's just unfortunate when you normally do the shows after the game. It's normally on Sundays, and Sundays it's always my day of playing catch up with life and all that. But so you've set the tone here because literally I've got a few technical issues. My wife's got she's on her own computer, even though it's a shared computer. So hasten to add, my laptop literally needs a new battery. My work laptop is blocked using StreamYard and others. So I'm now using my mobile phone. So this is fourth attempt to get on here. So, but yeah, it's been a long time. I think it's the shadow is back. Happy to talk about a Fulham victory, a much-needed Fulham victory. A good performance overall. We'll talk about that on the show today. But, despite the stats, which I'm sure you'll bring up, Russ, there's only one statistic that matters. That's the scoreline. So,
That's right.
3 points. Difficult game against Villa. But, we can start breathing a little bit more. Every game, every point, we're crawling to safety. Then we can start to relax and enjoy ourselves a little bit more. But yeah, it's not all doom and gloom at Fulham Football Club. We should be quite proud. Semi-final against Liverpool, which we nearly took them to extra time, essentially, if we scored that last late goal at Craven Cottage. Quarter final of the FA Cup last year, 10th place in the league. It could be worse, right? It could be worse as a Fulham fan. I know Fulham fans won't be happy with the squads. We've all been a little bit vocal towards our owners, but could be better, but it could also be a lot worse.
Totally agree there, Emilio. It really could be. And what's interesting about this, and we're going to talk about a Fulham victory here, if you look moving forward, I think it's only going to get better. I know the opponents get harder, but we have two players coming back from the African Cup of Nations. Mm-hmm. So for me, getting all 3 points against Bournemouth was massive because now you can build on that, and you should be better as a team with these two key players returning, Emilio. So when I watched this performance, and I've actually listened to a lot of talk about this from the Bournemouth perspective, they were obviously very upset about the loss. I listened to Back of the Net, and they were, I wouldn't say discounting Fulham, but they were not giving Fulham enough credit, in my opinion, because they thought they were going to roll because of the first matchup.
Yeah,
I knew it was going to be a little bit different, so I think maybe some of the supporters didn't give Fulham enough credit, and then, of course, Fulham win. And they are not feeling too good about their team. But you know what? This is a Fulham show. Enough talking about Bournemouth supporters.
You're right, you're right. Because I was on the 12th Man podcast last Thursday night, and there you've got literally those Bournemouth fans on there, Brentford. And the Bournemouth fan there was, you know, was piping up. He's saying, oh, 3-0 victory against Fulham. I said, yeah, that was, you know, we want to avenge that poor performance at Boxing Day. He said, we've never lost at Craven Cottage since the 90s. And I said, keep saying that, because good runs always come to an end. So keep saying that. And but there was an air of arrogance even in that show last week, thinking, well, actually, you know, we're literally neck and neck in the table. You know, don't discount Fulham, give us some credit. But it just felt like they're bound to win because their record at Craven Cottage is always very good. But I said, okay, let's see what it looks like on Saturday afternoon, and then we can review next week. And I haven't heard from him since then. So again, you know, they might be disappointed, but we were disappointed with the 3-0 defeat on Boxing Day. So it works both ways.
It does, Emilio. And listen, both clubs, it's funny because I went on a podcast talking about Bournemouth to preview the match, and I could just feel, nothing against the supporter of Bournemouth, but I felt some very good confidence going into that from their perspective. Again, going on the first time that we played each other. However, he told me something interesting, and I think it's going to be a theme when we talk about this match, that there was a way, there was a weakness there with Bournemouth, and Fulham took advantage of it. It was going to be at right back with Adam Smith. Fulham's left-hand side dominated. Yes. And we'll get to that because I want to focus on Willian. I want to focus on Jedi, the triangles with Tom. I want to talk about that because Tony Gale really, in the broadcast I watched, fantastic, obviously been on the show, really highlighted those three and their triangles and their play and how much it gave Bournemouth all kinds of trouble, Emilio. So for me, when I watched back the match, I've watched it a few times, I actually think it's more impressive each time I watch it because I see more things that they actually did. And 3-1, it could have been more than that, Emilio. That's just the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and overall, you know, the scoreline is what counts. And I think if I look back at the amount of key saves our keeper had to make, he made a good save in the first half, you know, a couple of moments in the second. But despite all their corner, you know, in the second half, they didn't really trouble our keeper. Again, Tim Ream was a colossal in defence, you know, cleared every header, won every header. And those corners were very good. If only we had corners that could hit that sweet spot each and every time, we'd certainly score a lot more goals from set pieces, certainly from corners. But, you know, they had well over 10 corners in that second half, just banging them in the same place, but same outcome each and every time. So we defended resolutely. You know, we'll talk afterwards about maybe sort of the substitutes never really came and made the impact that I expected. I think that's two games in a row, the substitutes that we've made have failed. You know, against Burnley, we saw the outcome there. And against Bournemouth, we sat back. A bit too much, a bit too concerning for me, the way we sat back. We're 3-1 up, probably could have been a little bit more adventurous at times. But overall, you know, we dominated first half. We got the 2-goal advantage. And to be honest with you, I think we were in control. I'm not sure it was a nervous 3-1. It's not the most convincing 3-1s I've ever seen in the world. But the fact that they had so many corners and so many, not only opportunities, there were threats there. There were moments for them, but they didn't capitalise. And you know, in the Premier League, only one stat counts, and that's the final score.
Absolutely, Emilio, absolutely. So while we're talking about this, I have a couple of topics to go through with you that we'll talk about the match and also moving forward. So let's talk about Tim Ream. You just talked about it, the second half with his dominance in the air. Just it was corner after corner, heading it away, clearing it every single time. He was a mess. So I'm going to ask the question, his performance – has it earned him back his starting position? Because what's interesting, Calvin Bassey returns. So did he make a marker here for Marco to say, hey, to Marco, listen, I want my spot back?
Yeah, interesting. It's known Tim Ream. He'll be very open and prepared. He'll do what's right for the club rather than what's right for him. And if Bassey's, I'd say, mentally fit, physically fit, you've probably seen him slotting in against Villa at the weekend. But overall, a lot will depend on his level of fatigue and whether he's mentally and physically ready to start against Villa. So don't be surprised Tim Ream will start against Villa on Saturday and Bassey might be on the bench. But I think I also want to kind of, Tim Ream was, you know, defending immensely in that second half in particular. But Diop, other than one mistake when he sort of gave it away, he tried to carry the ball forward in the first half. I thought Diop, there was two interceptions in the first half and two blocks he made. You know, they were key moments in that first half of Fulham. There was one moment, you know, so Diop gets a lot of criticism and when things go wrong, but doesn't always get the credit when things go right. And I think, and I mentioned this to Joe and the guys around me on Saturday, why is it when Anthony Robinson and Diop make mistakes, you know about it? But when other players make mistakes, like Tom Kearney, Willian, they're afforded a bit of a much sort of, say, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't get the much criticism because they cannot, you know, but Robinson, you know, I was asked a question the other day, who's the player of the season for them? I struggled. And someone said, what about Anthony Robinson? I went, potentially a good shout, right? Consistency is all through the season, but he still hasn't won Fulham fans over. And why is that? I just can't put my finger on it. And the same with Diop. Diop is renowned for making the odd but key mistake here and there. But when he defends well and kept Fulham in that first half with two key blocks, I didn't see any feedback on Twitter about how immense those tackles and blocks were. Interestingly, I don't know what it is. When Fulham fans have got an agenda against certain players, you hear about the negatives, never the positives.
That's very interesting, Emil. I'm glad that you said that. I actually read something very interesting on X, basically an analysis of how Fulham played this match and really analyzed how it all played out. And one of the topics, it was from this account called Cottage Tactico. I would have everyone go to it because I thought it was fascinating. And basically one of the points that this account was making that the strategy for Bournemouth was to target Diop. And we're talking about, make the mistake. But the thing about it is, he gets pointed at when he makes that one mistake. I've done it myself, but he deserves credit when he plays well. Same thing with Anthony Robinson. We point at the mistake. I point at the mistake. But maybe I should be focusing more on when he does things very well. And I have been. And I think maybe we focus too much on the mistakes, Emil.
Yeah, exactly. Too. And I think if you look at Tennessee, you don't see Tom, Willian get criticized when they're having off games. But, you know, it's easier to target a Diop mistake or a penalty conceded, or Robinson could have cleared the ball better. But you look at Robinson's stats this season, you know, there's a reason why he's top of Europe with some of those interceptions. And he added more to his numbers on Saturday with some, you know, with all his interventions in that game and interceptions. So overall, you know, I think those players deserve a little bit more credit when things go well, rather than just criticize when they make mistakes.
Okay, excellent stuff there, Emilio. Okay, a couple more topics. And I'm actually going to bring up our friend of the show, Tony Gale, because Tony Gale gives great commentary. I enjoy listening to a match that he calls about Fulham. I really do. And he is fair. There is no bias with him when it comes to Fulham. He basically plays it down the middle. But the one thing that he mentioned I want to talk to you about that's fascinating. He said this. He says, Fulham are better side with Willian in it. Do you agree with this?
Absolutely. I was actually mentioning that to the guys around me, saying, I think we can get another season out of him next year. You know, I think the amount of skill, his touch. And I compared him to Berbatov, you know, to be honest with you. Who would I rather have, Berbatov or Willian? 100-0 Willian. I was never a Berbatov fan. I didn't like his attitude, his persona. But Willian's good coach to the younger players, you know, to the players in our squad. Look at the way he's coached, mentored Rodrigo Muniz as well. That's come to life.
Absolutely.
You know, that's critical. Tom Kearney's talked about he's technically the best player he's ever played in the same team with. So that Willian just brings a lot of skill, slick with his passing. He can score goals. He can score from free kicks. You can see he can score penalties. We need that experience in the team. And, you know, I agree with Tony here. We click when he's in the team and when he's on form as well. He had a bit of a stuttering start to see. He wasn't at the same level in the first half dozen games as he was last season. Yep. But he's got better and better and better. And with him, if Iwobi comes back and brings that other level of energy to the team, this club can push on from where they are at the moment. But overall, I feel excited when Williams on the pitch. In the same way, you know, when Berbatov was there, he could do the unspectacular and the spectacular very, very well. But I just feel like I like having William in that team. And I think we can get another season out of him.
Interesting stuff. And I'm glad that you brought up making players better mentoring players. I think Muniz is a good example. I'll also say that I think he's made Jedi better. I think that combination, I think he has helped Jedi raise his game. Tom Kearney, because like I said, Tony was really focusing on the triangle, that three. And if you watch back the match, it's pretty amazing to watch the three of them play. But I'm glad that you brought this up because I think you're going to reap the rewards even against Aston Villa and Manchester United when now you have Wolby on the other side, Emilio. So now you really can cause havoc because now you can have those triangles on both sides. You're talking Castagna and Iwobi and really work things on both sides because I think that those are Fulham's strengths. Yeah, out wide is where they really can do damage, Emilio. I think you'll agree with me on that.
Yeah, and William keeping possession, always look to make something happen. He's always looking to have that link-up play with the Toms, Robinsons, you know, at times with Pereira as well when Pereira sort of, you know, got his head in the right place. But I think the key thing, William, you know something's going to happen. I feel like I always feel like he's excited. I'm excited when he's on the board. And you know, at times it can be a little bit predictable when he's trying to go, you know, trying to get those long-range spectacular shots from outside the area, which he is entitled to be honest with you. But at times, you know, it's without him in the side, we look lethargic, we look slow, and we look devoid of really attacking threat.
Okay, excellent stuff there, my friend. All right, our friend Chris Davidson has asked the question that I was going to ask you anyways, so let's get to it. Muniz or Broya going forward, okay? Because I was going to bring this up to you. He read my mind. I want to get your thoughts on Rodrigo Muniz in this match. And then, of course, as Chris has mentioned, moving forward.
Then look, everyone's been critical of him, me included. We thought he didn't quite have the pedigree and the attributes to perform at this level. It's only two games. He's got broke that duck at Burnley, which was critical. And look at the confidence that generates. And the fact that how proud he was to score in the Premier League for a top football club against Burnley. And then he's pushed on from that. I thought he had an immense game on Saturday. You know, his hold-up play was great. He was in the right place for the first goal. Confidence generated that excellent volley for the second goal. To be honest, he's deserved his right to play this weekend against Villa. Wardy may have picked up a bit of a knock. I don't know if that's been called out, but he hobbled a little bit towards the end. Like, whether he was knackered, I know he fell on the pitch shortly after before he got substituted, but hopefully he hasn't picked up a knock because he was limping a little bit on his leg. But overall, you've got to start him at the end of the day. He's on form, three goals in two, man of the match performance on Saturday. Poacher's goal for the first, you know, a confident striker for the second. That was a Mitrovic-style goal, that second goal. And also the first, being in the right place at the right time. So what more can you do? I thought his hold-up play was good. You could argue he partly assisted for the first goal, held up the ball, squared it in the right place in the day. Okay, their defender made a mistake, but Bobby still had to finish that goal. You've got to start him. And Broja, to be honest, he came on twice. I didn't see much that impressed me away to Burnley. And I didn't see much that impressed about him in those 20 minutes when he came on Saturday. If I was blindfolded and woke up and said, okay, we've got a new striker on the pitch, what do you want to see in a striker? Good hold-up play, you know, win headers, win corners, free kicks, make yourself a nuisance, pass the ball to feet, don't do the simple things right. I didn't see any of that. Maybe it's only 20 minutes. He's a bit rusty. But if you want to be critical, with the 20 minutes I saw him, why would he start against Aston Villa? So no-brainer, Rodrigo Muniz will start against Villa and hopefully he'll continue that the form he's in. He's earned it, so he has the right to continue playing.
Emilio, he's earned it. And I just want to say this because if you watched Match of the Day, and I actually did watch Match of the Day, Alan Shearer is giving him all kinds of praise. When Alan Shearer is giving you praise as a striker, that speaks volumes.
Exactly. And that's the key thing for me. I think, but I just liked, when the player, young player with, you know, potential bands of talent, he's obviously got to do that over a sustained period of time. But two games he's played, and even against Man United, before he picked up that knock, and that first half against Man United at Craven Cottage, he looked okay. He didn't massively cause the Man United defence many problems, but you can see what he was trying to do, you know, with hold-up play. He did win many headers against the Bournemouth defence, but what he did well is winning free kicks, holding the ball up. passing, looking to make things happen. So you can't ask more from a 22-year-old. If he scored three goals in two games, well, fair play to him.
Absolutely. I'm going to share this from our friend Steve Reynolds. We lack speed on the right. Reed has been poor. Mooney's work off the ball has gotten better. And I agree with all that. And like I said, you add Alex Iwobi to the mix. Yeah. And I think that might even improve, like I said, Mooney's even more, because now he's got it coming from both sides. So for me, this is all good news. Listen, it's too early to tell how good Rodrigo Muniz is going to be, Amelia. I've taken shots. You have. We all have, right? But he's in good form. You have to go with it. And I want to see what Broya offers as well. But I think you would be nuts to go to Broya against Astonville.
Exactly. And just to let's keep an eye on that Muniz where there's an injury there. Because I know he's slightly hobbled off, you know, when I saw on Saturday. But going back to Bobby Reid, Steve, look, I'm the first one to admit it. When we got promoted a couple of years ago, Bobby Reid is not a Premier League player, so to speak. But what he's got a knack of doing is he scores goals, he scores assists. Is he the top scorer for Fulham this season? I think he is. Don't quote me on that. Yes. But I think he's probably the highest top scorer. That's saying something. And so he's earned his right. Although his contributions are not significant throughout the 90 minutes, he popped up with a goal and he popped up with an assist on Saturday. What more can Bobby Reid do? So we like his versatility. His hunger, he's always up for playing for Fulham, whichever position you put him in. Yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more energy there, Steve. I think he can be a bit slow, but he's got a knack of scoring goals and being in the danger area. Andres Pereira, what's his record this season? Much more highly paid player. A lot more focus on Pereira. How many goals has he scored this season? How many assists? Not enough. So different type of player, but Bobby Reid, you know he's always going to pop up with something, game in, game out. And, you know, he may not, as I said, Liverpool away, another example. He was keen at 4-3 defeat there. So don't disagree, Steve, but you know what you're getting with Bobby Reid.
Well, he was actually, this is a golden, because he was talking about Harrison Reid.
Oh, Harrison Reid. Yeah, Harrison Reid should have come on earlier in that game on Saturday, but I thought when he came on, all the players came on, I just said we looked a little bit more lethargic. We just sat back throughout that game in the second half. So I question some of the substitutes and time. We know we've had this conversation before about Marco Silva, timing of subs and the subs that he made. It didn't work against Burnley. And I thought the changes we made on Saturday didn't work out. And we put ourselves under unnecessary pressure in that second half, especially the last 20 minutes.
Okay. Very good, Amelia. Okay. Before we talk about the starting 11, one more topic moving forward, because I like doing this. Let's go right there, okay? Let's talk about Bassey and then, of course, Iwobi. If you're watching live, feel free to share your thoughts on this. Do Iwobi and Bassey come straight back in to start against Aston Villa? If fit, I'll put in that, if ready to go.
If they're physically fit, rather than, or sort of, I'd say, if they've got the capacity to come straight back from a long, you know, tournament and come back in, I would say Iwobi, I think, will slot in immediately. I think, you know, I'd bring him straight into the mix. Bassey, I think, if, you know, Diop had a solid game against Bournemouth, Reid was colossal as well. I'd be surprised if he changed it unless he thinks Bassey's physically in the right frame of mind, physically, after a long tournament. You know, they'll bring a lot of confidence to the team. I know they lost the final yesterday, but they'll hopefully bring a lot of confidence into this Fulham team that we've now got two Fulham players in our starting line in our starting lineup who basically played in an African Cup final and former players who had had the game of his life yesterday. I didn't watch the game, but he had the game of his life. So it all depends on how physically fit they are, to be honest with you. But okay. If anything, I see Iwobi starting Bassey 50-50.
Okay, excellent. All right, Emilio, let's go to talking about the starting 11. I got to tell you, I did a preview show and I basically went with Broya starting in the match. And I have my platform as my number one key was getting him involved early and often. Then he doesn't even start. Then I turned into my takeaway as talking about Rodrigo Muniz getting the ball early and often, which Fulham did. So were you surprised that Broya didn't start? Any other surprises that he went with Muniz in that starting 11?
I thought Mooney's would have started, and I understood whether there was some speculation that Brody may have had a slight knock in training last week, which may have partly resulted in him starting on the bench rather than starting. But Mooney scored against Burnley, and I thought he had a good game against Burnley, so that would have been harsh on him and his confidence if he was dropped or put back on the bench against Bournemouth. So I think Silva got it right. Obviously, clearly he did, because he was man of the match. but overall, I thought it was pretty much the lineup I expected, you know, to be honest with you. I'm glad to see Wilson back from injury. That was a little bit sooner than expected. I didn't expect him to be on the bench so soon. Everyone seems to be happy that Traore is finally back in the mix as well. So maybe he offers a bit of something different, a bit like Kamara used to give us a few seasons ago. So, you know, unpredictable and could do the spectacular or unspectacular. But I wasn't necessarily too surprised at that lineup. Castagne, I know Tete had an injury, but if Tete was fit, Castagne's been pretty solid in that position most season. And, you know, so no surprises in that lineup, really.
Okay. Very good. All right. I have a couple more comments before we break down this match. This is from Chris Davidson, going back to talking about Iwobi and Bassey. It may be too soon after a long, hard tournament, both on the bench.
I think they will be potentially. I think Bassey will definitely start on the bench. Ream and Diop had a pretty steady game on Saturday, so neither should be dropped for Saturday.
They did. And I'm glad that Black, White, and Fred brought this up, because I saw this on X. Okay, this is actually pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Disappointed to see the abuse Iwobi has gotten from the Nigerian fans. This is actually terrible. If you go on X and put in Alex Iwobi, you're going to see it. And it's not good, Emilio. I don't get this. Listen, I'm going to be the first to admit it. I didn't see the match. But I don't get abusing one of your own like this. And he's gotten a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. This guy's thing. I haven't seen I've not been on Twitter or X today, or didn't see the match myself yesterday. But this is the same. It's the same as I say about Fulham fans, right? I don't think Fulham fans will get to that extreme when things go against us. But we all criticise players when things go wrong, but I don't think we give our team enough credit when things go well. And you know, where's the thanks to Iwobi that he got them, he helped them get to the finals, because they lost a big tournament, a big final. It's disgusting, really. But I can speak to us on behalf of Fulham fans, and sometimes I see the abuse our fans give to players unnecessary at times.
Okay, very good. All right. Coming up next, Emilio and I break down the match, and then we end with Man of the Match.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, my friend, let's go and break down the match. Let's go through your first half analysis. Let's just talk about the first half, then we'll talk about the goals and some of the other key moments. So I'll just share my thoughts on watching the first half. And Fulham came out very strong out of the blocks, and they were dominant, Emilio. They deserved to be up 2-0 at the half there. I say maybe even more than that, because they played very well. And like I said, I've heard all the excuses from the Bournemouth supporters talking about how badly they played, right? Well, there's a reason why they played badly. Fulham made them look that way. So for me, I thought it was a very good performance. And something to build on. Like I said, that's what we're talking about. The first half was a really good performance. The second half was just seeing out the match, you know, finding a way to get all 3 points, which they did. So for me, the first half really just showed that Fulham can play with anyone, and they played well in that first half. Emilio, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, we got out of the blocks very early. High press. You know, we it was a game that Fulham felt if they're going to get to survival and safety, this was one of the games they had to win. Home advantage. We wanted to avenge that shocking performance at their ground in December. You know, we got that early goal. That settled the nerves, right? I think, and again, it could have got the second. It could have been more. And I know Solanke missed a sitter by his own standards. And again, this goes back about this debate. How good is Solanke? Went through that rich vein of form either side of, you know, through December. I think November and December, that's when Bournemouth were getting, you know, the strong results and winning week in, week out. But someone highlighted to me on Sunday, and I wasn't aware, that Bournemouth's last victory it was against Fulham on Boxing Day. So it was a good time to play them as well. They weren't playing at their peak, and they've started a little bit in recent weeks. And dare I say, they've become a bit like Brighton fans. Maybe they're expecting a little bit too much from their team. And they, you know, just because they've had a good season so far, and they've spent a lot of money, don't forget, they're probably expecting Heinz, little Fulham. Who are you? We're stronger and better than you. But, you know, we put them in their place, got the second goal deservedly. You know, Solanke should have finished, should have got pulled one back for them. But overall, we controlled that game, other than a couple lapses of concentration here and there. But overall, very happy with that 2-0 performance. You know, again, at times, I saw Marco Silva telling his players just to calm down a little bit. 2-0 up, close the game out, go into half-time. Don't leave any gaps to the back. There are times when sort of the eagerness got made them get a little bit too carried away. And I thought, well, actually, we're going to slip and make a mistake here, which we know we're renowned for doing. But closed the game out of half-time, comfortably leading 2-0. And if you look at the stats first half, they reflected that. We were higher possession rates, more shots on goal. Clearly, we scored the two. And we put them under pressure. You know, let's be honest. This goes back to my point about Bobby Reid. You know, he has a knack of finding himself in the right place at the right time. You know, the defence made a mistake. Bobby Reid still had a hard job to finish, but he coolly finished at the back and slotted the back of the net. And Mooney's, with confidence, scored a nice poacher's goal. Again, got in front of the defender. Two mistakes, two goals. Thank you very much.
That's great, Melio. And the other thing I want to mention about the first half, and again, I would recommend people go into the X account of Cottage Tactico, where they talk about how Fulham basically bypassed the press, because I kept hearing about how incredible this Bournemouth press is. And Fulham, instead, for the most part, Bernd Leno would kick it out. He would kick it to the sides, or he would kick it to Muniz and basically just bypass it. Or Tim Ream would basically be in charge of getting the ball forward. They tried to stay away from Diop having the ball a lot. And I think that was smart because, as I said, Cottage Tactico said that was probably the strategy of Bournemouth, was to try to take advantage of Diop. That didn't happen. So that was really good. But for me, the fact that we look at these two matches, Emilio, I think the first half just shows how different they are. And I think Marco has a lot to do with it. Strategy. Because on many occasions, he would have played the ball off from the back. You're basically banging your head against the wall and asking for trouble. In this match, he did like he did a season ago against Liverpool and said, you know, we're just going to bypass it. Exactly. And it worked.
Exactly. You look at that. One thing as well to call out is a link-up play. Like Tony Gale was saying about William being a key player.
Yes.
Robinson, William, Tom Kenny, that triangle, you know.
That triangle.
Beautiful passing, you know. Where was Pereira in that first half? You could argue Pereira was a passenger in that first half. And again, he wasn't, you know, he was lazy. There was one moment I was actually effing and blinding because I could see Bournemouth. There was one moment when one of their midfielder, I can't remember who it was, just carried a ball from the halfway line right through to the penalty area. There was no attack. There was no press from our midfield. Pereira had his hands in his pockets. Come on, you've got to work. That midfielder's got to work harder. But when we're on the ball attacking, that diamond there were, you know, amazing, and Tom pulling the strings, confident. But when we're on the back foot and having to absorb a bit of pressure, João Paulinho, you know, can't protect that midfield on his own, and we need to see the likes of Willian, Pereira, and Tom offer more in defence and cover. And that's the only negative. When we've got that sort of very high press offensive style of football, you're leaving João a little bit exposed in midfield, and he can't do that all by himself, and you need those three really tracking back and working harder for the team. But coming forward, they're a delight to watch.
Okay, excellent. No, let's talk about the goals. Let's talk about the first Fulham goal. And like I said, the focus here, when I've been reading and listening to, has been the mistake, the fall of the Bournemouth player. Okay, I get all that. But I think what people are missing out on is the play from Muniz. And then obviously you can say that it was, you know, just a mistake or just a fall. But Bobby Dekker de Overeem takes advantage of it, was in the position to take advantage of it, Emilio. I think that gets lost in this, first goal.
Exactly. And Muniz, again, it wasn't the strongest ball when he squared it across, but it was in the right place, right? And again, he put it in the right place. You know, the defender stood off Muniz. So Muniz done well to put the ball in that danger area. And like you said, if you're putting the ball in the right place, you're going to force defenses to make occasional mistakes. We do that ourselves. We often make mistakes in key areas, then we get punished for it. And this time, Bournemouth made the mistake. Bobby in the right place. You had the right person there, shall we say, in front of goal there. Anyone else, I would have been a little bit more sceptical. But Bobby, with the pace, in the right place, and he only had one thing on his mind, and he buried it in the bottom corner very comfortably, proving that he's our top scorer of the season. Oops, sorry, that was my phone that just fell over. Phone's still okay. It's just literally all these backup technology plans tonight. But overall, Bobby, right place, right time, and thank you very much. 1-0, an early goal just settled the nerves for the team.
Absolutely, no. I want to share this comment from Chris Davidson, because Chris always likes to be proven right. We'll give this to you, Chris. Tom Kearney, I told you guys a long time ago not to write him off. You were right about that, Chris. Yes, I'll give you your credit.
In the form of his life, Chris.
He's playing fantastic. Chris is right. Yeah. He's playing fantastic. We'll give Tom Kearney all the credit that he deserves. He deserves all that. All right, Emilio, let's talk about the second goal. So this is great. You've already mentioned it. And it's been described as a poacher's goal, and it is. So let's talk about Rodrigo Muniz scoring Fulham's second goal.
Again, cross into the box, Bobby's little knockdown with his head, getting in the right place, right time, causing a nuisance. And just the fact that Muniz, with confidence, a spring in his step, had the audacity, you could argue, to get in front of the defence and just stick his foot out and bury it in the back of the net. Would he have done that 2 weeks ago? Potentially not. Again, it's those little moments. You can't put a price on it. But psychologically, he's broken his Premier League duck a week ago. And now that breeds confidence. I'd argue if that had occurred 2 weeks ago, he would have been second to the ball. He wouldn't have got there first.
Agreed. Okay. So let's now move to the second half, and Fulham are up 2-0 heading into the second half. And unfortunately, and this happens all the time, they get the goal. Now, this is, again, off of a corner. I want to give them credit for this. So your thoughts about the Bournemouth goal, which made it 2-1?
It was coming, I thought. I thought Bournemouth, obviously, I was saying at the time, 2-0 up, they're going to leave gaps at the back. So I wasn't confident they would score. I thought maybe we would keep it tight. They would leave gaps at the back and maybe we'd go and score a third. But it's just a little bit of hesitation in defence, a little bit sloppiness. We didn't clear our lines appropriately. And I'd argue they deserved that goal. They started that second half quite well on the front foot, pressing us back. We were struggling to contain them. Again, this is what I find frustrating seeing Fulham this season is when we're slightly under pressure, we keep giving a ball away cheaply. So when we're comfortable on the ball, how many times do we give the ball away? Don't pass the feet. We give a cheap throw in. We give possession away when there's we're slightly on the back foot. That frustrates me. So play the basics well. When you're under pressure, you do the basics. You pass the feet. You try to hold the ball. Don't give the possession a free hit to get possession back and put pressure on the foot. And that's what happened in the second half. Look at the back of those first 10 minutes or so, how many times did we give the ball away? You could argue Bournemouth pressurised us to make mistakes, but there were some basic errors across the Fulham team throughout the first 10 minutes. And Bournemouth deserved that first goal. I thought, here we go again. Burnley revisited. And I thought, this is not good. We've dominated the first half, and now we're only one goal ahead. But they deserved it. We made some mistakes. We didn't clear our lines. And a lot of it's a bit of sloppiness at times when we give the ball away cheaply. If I remember rightly, and I haven't seen the replay, Fulham were attacking about literally less than a minute before their goal.
Yep.
I can't remember if we didn't get the free kick we expected, They then got a throw in, tacked, Walt went back into the Fulham heart, into the Fulham penalty area. We didn't clear our lines, 2-1. But if you look the preceding minute, I'm sure there was a moment that we either our player got a foul, was fouled, and we didn't get the decision, or we gave away a cheap throw in, which was we lost possession, and then we gave them the initiative. So, but I haven't seen the replay, but something I recall just before their goal. I don't know if someone who's watched it can remind me, but there was something in the minute or so before.
Okay, my friend. All right. So what's great is that Fulham responded almost instantaneously. Now, what's interesting about this, and I've watched this back several times, I don't have a great view of it, but I know the Bournemouth supporters are very upset because they think the ball went out of play. It's very close. It's extremely close. I would recommend everyone going back. It almost looks like the ball goes out of play. It could have. Regardless, play continues, and then we have the play that ends up to Willian eventually. Well, Kearney gets it to Willian, and then Willian's cross, just amazing. And what's interesting about this, if you watch this back, you will see Muniz basically pointing to where he wants it. And on a plate, Emilio, this was a great goal from Rodrigo Muniz, 3-1.
Yeah, absolutely. Right in front of me. You know, you saw the beautiful build-up play between Tom, Willian, and peach of a cross, right? Exactly a striker's cross then. How many times have we seen Mitrovic bury goals from the same position? So Muniz, again, 2 weeks ago, he would have probably kicked that into the Hammersmith end and way above the goal. But he timed it to perfection. Great cross and a great volley, a great strike. That's a striker with confidence, really. It's only 3 goals in 2 games, but you know, there's a lot this guy potentially has on offer now. And again, what else can he do? Let's not. How would you say? I think we can applaud him while he's done well, but let's not get carried away. 2 games, but look, even Mitrovic would not have scored a better finish than that. So great finish, cracking goal, and what was important, we responded immediately.
Exactly.
2-1. Your nerves start to creep in. You start to remember what happened against Burnley, but no, let's go back the other end. Let's take the game back to Bournemouth, and you know we had a peach of a cross, peach of a finish. That silenced the Bournemouth fans immediately. It's exactly what we needed.
Okay, all right, Emilio. So now we're up 3-1, and before we talk about man of the match and Fulham see this match out, I want to get your thoughts on the substitutions because this has been a little bit of a theme. It's been hit or miss with him when it comes to substitutions. What do you make of the players that came on? And also, make the change of shape.
First thing I was crying out for is bring Harrison Reed. I know he's not always my favourite player in the world. But, you know, but look, if he was the best player since sliced bread and deserved to play for England, why is he not playing every week? But that's a different story, right? proves my point. He's good enough for the bench. I don't think he's good enough to play week in, week out. But he should have come on for Pereira, as far as I'm concerned. But that was a mistake. Pereira was afforded too much time on that pitch. He had a poor game. He should have come off. Tom should have played the number 10 role and put Harrison Reed in the position and provide some support and cover for Joel. We shouldn't have kept Pereira on longer. I think he made a mistake taking Tom off, unless there was an injury, whether he was tired or not. But that was a mistake, in my opinion.
Okay. It's funny because I was listening to a podcast that said that potentially Tom might just be a 60-minute player at this point. What are your thoughts about that?
At times, yes. I think, you know, now that we've got the players coming back from injury, that will give a bit more breathing space for him so we can play him for 60, 65 rather than, I think it was the Everton game. I think he played the whole game, didn't he?
He did.
Brighton a couple of weeks ago. So that's probably a bit too much for him, but I still think he had another 10 minutes or so on legs on to carry on. And Pereira had offered nothing when he up to the point that Tom was substituted. So I think Silva got that one wrong, in my opinion. Then Harrison Reed, you know, did a couple of Stefan Johansson fouls there. Whilst Russ is trying to get his connection back, probably a bit of bad network interference there. I thought Marco made some of the decisions wrong in that second half. I think when all the subs were made, I just felt Wilson didn't see much of Wilson when he came on. Again, we don't want to stretch him and test him too early because he's only come back quickly from an injury. But I think he struggled in that second half. Brozier, I mentioned earlier, didn't contribute enough for me. I thought his touch at times was quite poor. Didn't look like the multi-million pound striker that Chelsea paid for his services. And Harrison Reed, Harrison did the job he was meant to do. Let's not beat around the bush. But overall, we lost balance, we lost speed, we lost quality, and the team looked a little bit, I don't know. We didn't have that flow. I thought we sat back for the last 20 minutes absorbing pressure when actually the team looked a little bit disjointed at times.
Okay. Emilio, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I was just carrying on talking about the substitutions and my thoughts that maybe they created a bit, the team looked a little bit disjointed when they came on. I thought we lost our flow, we lost our shape. And you know, we didn't look like scoring a fourth goal. That was the only thing.
Okay, no worries. Okay, all right, let's end the show because my internet connection, I don't know how it's going to hold up. So why don't we just go to man of the match? Give me your man of the match, Emilio.
No two ways. Rodrigo for me. I thought Rodrigo, you know, we've talked at length in the show tonight. He was man of the match for me by a fairly country mile. Tim Ream, good call. I'm going to call him out because he headed everything in the second half, especially those corners. We had to absorb. How many corners did Bournemouth have second half? In double figures. But ultimately, I don't think Ben Leonard had to make a specific save from those. So that's testament to Diop and to Tim Ream. So probably Tim Ream was number two play for me. And I thought Robinson and William on the left looked very exciting, quick. They were on it on Saturday, weren't they? And I think the only other thing as well, the other thing that makes me feel nervous is Ben Leno's one moment in the second half, again, in no man's land, like he was against Burnley. I don't know what he was up to in that second half. There was a moment when, you know, that could have gone against us. We got away with a little bit of murder, that blue murder there. But Ben Leno, I'm not sure your decision-making at times is starting to make me feel a little bit worried. Well, Russ seems that he's lost his internet connection again, guys, on those watching. So for me, do you all agree Mooney's man of the match? What are the other people saying?
All right, good stuff there, Emilio. So, like I said, we're having some internet connection where I am.
Yeah, Chris was just saying Russ has turned into the shadow. Good comment there, Chris. Yes, Russ's connection is not very good tonight. Steve Reynolds, how long do we play Andreas? I agree with you. I think I think with Iwobi coming back, you might see him, you know, maybe starting on the bench in a couple games coming up. Steve Reynolds, you're saying Mooney's and Ream, you agree with me. Chris Davidson, you can't argue Mooney's for Man of the Match. Well, William ran him close. Ream and Diop deserve a mention. Yep, definitely. Ream definitely agree with you there. And Diop, yeah, I mentioned earlier, I thought Diop, other than that one mistake in that first half when he carried the ball and gave away cheap possession, I thought he looked pretty immense and was probably more spectacular than Tim Ream in that first half. Chelsea losing again. We can finish above them again this season. Oh, are they? I'm not seeing what the Crystal Palace game. But if anything, I want more Palace to lose that than Chelsea. Yeah, Mooney's definitely from Nick Townsend. So overall, everyone seems to be pretty much agree with me. And I think the Fulham FC man of the match was also Rodrigo Mooney's. So we've got Villa coming up on Saturday at home. What are people's thoughts? If you want to drop your message on the chat, I'll read some of your comments in a moment. But Villa lost at home to Man United yesterday. They're slightly, maybe a little bit stuttering. You know, they were unbeatable at Villa Park for the best part of this season and lost. I think they won about 17 plus consecutive games at home. So they've started up late. They lost to Chelsea in the league in the cup last week. They lost at home to Man United. They're going to want to turn that around and need to find a way to beat Fulham. But we've got our players back from injury, plays back from national international duty. So that's actually going to be a very interesting game. I think we're going to see a very interesting game against Villa, a very open game, Russ, for two teams who want to play football, you know, offensively. And Ollie Watkins, dare I say, is not necessarily in a hot run of form like he was a few weeks ago. So he made a couple of mistakes yesterday. I think he should have been more clinical. Yeah. But I think it's going to be an exciting game against Villa on Saturday. It's going to be an open game and probably a good game for the neutrals.
Emilio, I think I'm finally back. Are you hearing me?
Yes, I can. Yeah, I'm just going through comments on the chat and also just talking about the game against Villa coming up this weekend. Prediction against Villa. Kamal, good question. We're at home. I'd probably say 1-1. Again, Villa not going to be easy, but they're beatable. I think I agree with Steve Reynolds. Villa are beatable. They're not playing to the level they were, say, 4 to 6 weeks ago. With our players coming back from injury, we'll have hopefully a full-strength squad. They're not going to find it easy. So I think 1-1, but don't be surprised. I think Fulham can get something from this game. We can get the 3 points, in my opinion. And we can relax a little bit more. We've beaten Bournemouth. We've got the that's a more important win, arguably, than a game against Villa. So got the 3 points. We can relax a bit against Villa. And why can't we? Can't we beat them? Why can't, you know, so we're at home. That's the key thing. And last year we thumped them 3-0. And Gerrard got sacked straight after that game, if you recall. Any other predictions from the people watching the show tonight against Villa? Kamal, it's the balanced opinion. Yeah, I tend to be very, you probably, if you don't know me well now, I tend to be very grounded, very unbiased in opinion. So it's, I'll tell you how I think it's going to be, irrespective of the bias towards Fulham Football Club. Someone's asked, well, what's the news on Tosin, Steve? I'm not too sure, really. I know he picked up a knock against Burnley. I'm not sure. You know, hopefully nothing too serious. I know that Raul Jimenez's injury seems to be worse than expected. He's going to be out for at least another month. So clearly we're going to need Broja to start, you know, showing some form when he comes off the bench. And hopefully Rodrigo didn't pick up a knock on Saturday. But let's see later this week. Steve going for a tough 1-0 and Nick Townsend 2-1 Fulham. So, yeah, it's going to be a tight game on Saturday. I actually see them probably being a lot of goals in that game. A 3-2, 4-3 potentially to Fulham. But it's going to be an open game, I think. That's, and with two attacking teams, both exciting to watch as neutrals. Russ, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Let's wrap this up, my friend. Final thoughts, Emilio?
No, good show. And despite the we both had technical issues from a different perspective. Always good to do a show when Fulham win, and when Fulham win deservedly, not by luck, you know, despite what the Bournemouth fans think. You know, at the end of the day, we're above them in the table, so they can go back to the South Coast and start complaining about other things. But overall, you know, most Fulham fans are grounded. We've got the 3 points. We can start to breathe a little bit more. You know, survival looks fairly likely now. We just need a couple more wins to guarantee it, and we can play with a little bit more confidence. Now we don't have to worry. We've got players back from injury, players back from international duty. We've got, what, 15 games to look forward to the end of the season? Let's pick up as many points as we can and push up that table. Because if Chris is saying Chelsea are losing tonight, then who knows? We beat Villa at the weekend. We can leapfrog our lovely neighbours at Chelsea. So, yeah, overall, thank you very much, Fulham. Good victory on Saturday. Look forward to seeing you play against Villa on this coming weekend. Thanks for watching the show, everybody.
It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.